Hey everybody, it's Mary Lou Tyler. This week we are going to talk about you as a person, the whole person. I have a very, very wonderful guest today, Shimon Lazaroff. He's the founder and CEO of LiveCoach.io. And, you know, it's funny, when I started teaching at university, I realized that it's not just about teaching you guys the process, that it's activating, it's doing, it's getting a further understanding. And I quickly realized that just teaching the material wasn't enough, that I really needed to have office hours. I really needed to be at my students' disposal so that if they had any questions. And sometimes we never talked about the process. Sometimes we talked about life at the company that they were working at, or maybe they were in that kind of role where they were there for a short period of time, and then they went off and went to another company, because there's a lot of those programs through university that do that now. So I thought, you know what, I need to get an expert on here to talk about coaching. And frankly, I wasn't even sure which questions to ask Shimon because of the fact that I really focus so heavily head in sand on process that only recently did I come to the realization and awareness that coaching is a big piece. So welcome, Shimon, to our podcast today. And thank you so much for sharing your information and enlightening us on what this thing called coaching is all about.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. So naturally, there's a difference here. I mean, I just did a survey of my list, which is a combination mostly of salespeople and a smattering of different roles. So I have business developers, I have C-suite leaders, I got some marketing people who love content and follow me for that. But I asked the question on the survey, would you prefer to have peer coaching as part of this class, or would you like to have a coach that really, a mentor, someone who is there to, you can ask any question to, who holds you accountable? And it was staggering, the difference of results I got based on the sales role. You know, if you're in a business developer mm-hmm. closer role, you're all over the coaching thing. For those mm-hmm. who did all roles, though, did prospected, closed, and serviced, the percentages were wildly different. So can you speak to, you know, not just the roles, but what types of coaching, or what is the difference between coaching that we think of when we think of coaching, and which is usually business related, and versus the life kind of coaching goals and coaching process?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think it's a relatively new industry. So the definitions are still kind of being decided upon, right? There's no standard. It's not like when you go to a dentist, you know exactly what training that person has had, what exams they've had to pass. And when you go to a coach, you don't really know. Anyone can call themselves a coach. But basically what we're seeing is that there are three main topics that people work with a coach to solve. So one of them is just when they want to accomplish something and they don't know how to do it. So in a business setting, this can be, you know, I want to get a promotion, but I don't know how to make it happen. Maybe my boss isn't communicating clearly with me what are the expectations for me getting a promotion. You know, in your personal life, it could be, you know, I want to buy a house, but I don't even know how to get started. And it can be also in relationship issues, right? Like something's not right with my spouse. What do I do about it? So that's like one thing where you go to a coach to get a plan of how to do something. And we have many coaches on the platform that are great for that. Then the second aspect is actually following through with your plan. So whether you have worked with a coach to formalize a plan, or whether maybe you know what you need to do, but you just need someone to hold you accountable. And that's where the survey that you're mentioning is, it's very interesting because, yeah, you could ask, who is better to hold you accountable? Is it a friend? Is it a colleague? Or is it a professional coach? Mm-hmm. And we can talk about those things, but that's definitely something that's necessary. And then the third aspect is working with someone to really understand what you want out of life. So even if you don't have a current problem, you're happy at your job, you're happy with your relationships or any of those issues, someone that can open like new horizons to you and really give you something to aspire to. And many times those three roles can all be performed by one person. So yeah, many times one person can fulfill all of these roles. Many times you need to work with different people to accomplish those things.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because this follow through is definitely what we were leaning towards with the accountability questions on that survey. And if you're, now this is my list, so it's not representative necessarily of the universe out there, but if there were leaders who responded to the survey, not by a big margin, but they preferred to have peer, colleagues, friends, influencers, hold them accountable, slightly over having a coach. And then, but everyone else, when I combined the roles, they were definitely in favor of a what they consider a coach. Now, of course, I didn't drill down into how they defined a coach, but they preferred the coaching over the peer. Primarily, some of them, the gap was pretty big, and some was just really small, a couple percentage points difference. So, but I was surprised at the number of people who wanted this type of accountability, this follow through, as you're calling. Just never had an idea about that.
Yeah, you know, you'll be surprised at how many times we know that we need to do something in life, but like we don't actually follow through. And there's many good reasons for that. So, you know, biologically, we're very much wired towards the immediate and the thing that grabs our attention right now. And sometimes it's hard for us to think long term. So having someone that forces us to really get the longer perspective on things can be super helpful.
Now, you know, when we think of coaching, is it better, I don't even know if it's the right term, but is it better to think about yourself, the whole person, when looking for a coach? Or can you be pretty effective if you're just focused in on one aspect, the business side of things, for example? You know, the accomplishment of a goal, like being a better business developer or making my quota versus, you know, being a good family member, having a more balanced life, exercising, whatever else. What are you seeing the trend is? Are we trying to combine all these things into one sort of life coach type thing? Or do we separate out for business, I'm using this person, for athletics, I'm using that person, and for my life, there may be even a third person in the picture. What's the trend that you're seeing?
Yeah, so we're seeing, I come from a background of you know, building marketplaces in Silicon Valley, so very, very data heavy. And I always like to look at the data and slice it and dice it in many different ways to see if insights come from it. And we're seeing basically that there's two segments of people. One is the segment that only needs help with the first topic that we spoke about, which is like, I need something very specific and I don't know how to get it. So if that's someone's situation, they can totally work with a coach only for that thing, you know, get a plan in place and start executing it. But everybody else, so whether you know what you need to do, but you need accountability, or whether you just know that your life can be better, but you don't know exactly how to make it happen, see a big link between personal goals and professional goals. So that means many times, you know, if there's something in your personal life that is bothering you or something that you know that could be better, it will radiate into your work, your performance at work. And that's something that wasn't very trivial because the research, usually the academic research around coaching, just focuses on productivity. So it's like, yeah, we have data showing that working with a coach on improving your sales or on improving your communications or whatever it is more effective than not working with a coach. But there's not a lot of research showing the kind of combination of working on your personal stuff and how it affects your professional stuff. And so I started looking at our data and very interesting things are starting to appear. So for example, if you improve your relationships with your family, over 90% of times your work performance also improves, which I found to be very interesting. And I also like to look at people holistically. And so when we think about what we want to achieve in life in general, It seems very, it makes sense to me that those two terms are connected. So, for example, if we want a promotion, it is probably to make more money, to increase our prestige at work. But why do we really want that? Many times that is not disconnected from our family life or from our personal life. And it's the other way around also. Like, if we want a great family life, why do we want that? We want that maybe so we feel good and then we can focus on really achieving really amazing success at work. So those the connection between those two things, I think it's fascinating, and I think people should do some more research on it to figure out, like, what's the best way to improve someone's life holistically.
You know, one of the top questions that always come to mind is, at what point in life is a coach worth considering? I mean, when we go to college, say we're in college, we have our teachers, mm-hmm. they're kind of our coaches, sort of our TAs, our coaches. Then we yep. get down into the working world, we look immediately towards our managers for coaching, but sometimes mm-hmm. that's falling pretty flat. And I think a lot of what we're seeing now is, with all the tools that are out there to help, and I'm talking sales, with all the tools that are out there to help us get into the door and have those first conversations, you know, we've got a lot at our disposal now to be able to leverage technology to help us, but there's still mm-hmm. that lack of confidence, that lack of tenacity, that lack of persistence, where I think a coaching, or if the managers could coach and role play, would be helpful, but that doesn't seem to be happening in corporate America. So yeah. at what point are you going to say, you know what, I'm important, it's about me, I'm going to go ahead and figure out how to do this. But at what point do you think that light bulb goes on that they should seek out external help?
Yeah, so I mean, you're right. Ideally, your manager should be your coach in an ideal world, because a good manager wants to develop their employees. But, you know, sadly, we know that, you know, in corporate America, or just in general, people, they're more focused on the short-term results than the long-term results. So many times the manager will ask one of their employees to do something that is really good in the short term, but knows that it's not necessarily the best thing for the long-term career development of that person. You know, a classical example of that could be when, if let's say one of my employees is really, really good, and I know that I can develop them and then they'll get a promotion and start reporting to me, you know, as a manager, not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily the thing that I want to optimize for, even if it's subconsciously, right? So even if it's, I'm a good person, but, you know, I'm focused on delivering those results. So maybe I will not push my employees to develop as much as they can, especially the good ones. Mm-hmm. And so that's an interesting, you know, you've probably heard of this term where people get promoted until their level of incompetence. So like, you're good at what you do, you get promoted. And right. the place where you stop being promoted is the place where you're not very good at what you do. So that's a sad fact, because I'm thinking, how many people are just stuck at doing something that, you know, it's not the best thing that they could be doing. So I think the biggest value of a coach is the neutral objectivity, right? It's someone that can look at your life, look at your professional life, and really have your best interest in mind, not have any other things they're optimizing for. And in a very real sense, your success is their success. So if you get promoted, it's to their credit. They don't care about the, you know, short-term team performance, but more of your long-term career development. And so the more I would advise someone, the more neutral you can get that person to be, the better your results will be. So even, for example, some people don't like working with a professional coach, or just with an accountability buddy. So someone mm-hmm. who they touch base with once a week just to make sure they're on track to achieving their goals. If that accountability buddy is like a close friend or a spouse, the results are much worse than if it's someone who's maybe a distant colleague or someone who's not so close to you, because then they can be truthful with you, and they can say, you know, you missed your goal. You said you're going to do this thing, you didn't do it, and push you to really achieve the things that you set for yourself, that you determined that are important to you. So I would really advise whatever, I think anyone can use a coach, and you can see this with professional athletes or you know, performers. There's many careers in which, like, having a coach is a must. And I really think, you know, I started this company because I really believe that any person can benefit from that. And the challenge is just quantifying it, communicating it to people, and matching them with the right coach at the right time, which is an interesting problem to solve.
So you have then a place where if I was considering coaching, I can go to, and is there like an assessment process that helps? Because I may go to the site and not have a clue, like you said. I don't know really what I need or what I want or what's available. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sort of at ground zero in terms of understanding what even to ask for in some situations.
Yeah.
It may be an accomplishment goal. It may be a follow-through goal. It may be a lifelong thing I'm trying to work on, but how, you know, I don't know how to prioritize them. Do you have some type of assessment process or questionnaire that the audience can go and see if they're curious about how coaching can benefit them?
Yeah, absolutely. So we built the platform to be as open as possible. So anyone can just go and select what are the things they want to work on and to the best of their knowledge, right? So we don't ask for people to prioritize or just, you know, we have over 100 coaching categories and you can just check the boxes of what you're interested in working with, working on. And then also we have a free text part of the form where you can just describe your situation. So even if you don't know how what you want to work on fits into one of the categories, that's absolutely okay. You can describe your situation. And then coaches will reach out to you with their solutions. You can reach out to coaches. So our algorithms are good at matching you with coaches that have helped people achieve similar things. So we're good at analyzing the text that you write in the free text and also the combination of categories that you want to work on. And then you can start the conversation. What's cool about live coaches is that you can, for 7 days, you can talk to as many coaches as you want for free. And we think that's one of the barriers, which is you want to get exposed to many coaches. I would never suggest someone to choose one and just talk to them and work with them. Talk to many coaches. We also see this, which it's interesting. Before these platforms existed, the main way to get a coach was through a referral. So
yes.
You would have a friend who worked with a coach, got great results, and so you would reach out to the same coach. The only problem with that is that it only works if you and your friend want to work on exactly the same thing,
mm-hmm.
right? So if my friend worked with a coach to change their career, that might not be the best coach for me if I want a promotion.
Right.
It's just a different skill set, different experience, different motivators. So that's why we saw that many people have this mismatch of like, I know that this coach is good, but not for what I need. I know that the other coach does what I need, but I don't know if they're good. So that's why on our platform, you can just keep reaching out to people until you find someone who's good. And then you can do this again and again as your goals evolve. So every time you want to change your goals, you can reach out to a bunch of coaches and see who's the best person for the job.
So it's like you have a community of coaches with whom you can have conversation, find out if there's an alignment there between what you think you want. And as you know, like anything, everyone, the more you have conversations about what your goals are or where you want to go, you get more clarity, you get more specificity. So if you are able to have these conversations with multiple people, you're going to hone in on exactly your path, or at least pretty darn close, you know, the 80-20 rule.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get there and you may have to pivot along the way. But I think, you know, like anything, having someone hold you accountable, you know, tough love versus family versus colleagues, having that independent voice. I think I know for me personally, if I ask my husband to monitor something for me athletically or even my business, he's just so forgiving. I would never get anything done. You know, it's just he's my biggest fan. So therefore he's not a good coach. He's a fan. So I think, I would be definitely more interested in finding out the neutral objectivity. I love that phrase. I think that's really what we're looking for. And if I go back to my survey, you know, peer coaching or peer accountability has its place. And, you know, a lot of the classes, the online classes are offering that. in terms of the people who are in class are there, you can buddy up with. But the independent coaching is definitely something in sales that I'm seeing a very high percentage of people would like to have that accountability through an independent, neutral type of coach, but may not know how to seek that out. So I think this is a great place for those of you who are listening. Head on over to livecoach.io or similar websites and start talking with coaches and finding out where those gaps are between what you thought you were getting from your manager. And maybe even as you learn, which is, you know, really what we do with prospecting and predictability, is as you learn some techniques and tools, is to bring it into your teams and start working with your peers through the role play environment and making sure they're getting kind of the benefit of your coaching as well. But first and foremost, it's about you. It's about working towards whatever goals you have, because, you know, I think there is a blend here, as Shimon said, of life and business. I know for me personally, writing in a gratitude journal every day, it lifts my spirits. I can see it. I'm more positive. Rejections that come my way through prospecting, I take a lot, you know, I take in, I absorb, I learn from them. I don't think of them as personal objections to me, but, you know, my goal is to get up every morning and help as many people as I can. And I think with gratitude, I can do that. And writing in a journal gives me that ability to each day get up and say, I want to help as many people as possible today. So Shimon, what is the best thing to do then? Go to over to the website and fill out a form and start having conversations?
Yeah, so you can go to livecoach.io. We have a special offer for your listeners, which is they can go to livecoach.io/extend, and there they can get 2 weeks of a free trial instead of just 1 week.
Okay.
But in any case, you can just go and, start talking to people. You'll be surprised at how much insight you can get. Even if you have a bunch of coaches that are good at the same thing, just different styles can make a huge difference. So some people like a coach that's more active and, you know, tells them what to do directly. Others like a coach that's more listening and being there for you. So I would just suggest, talk to as many coaches as you can, and then I'm sure you'll find a good one.
And what about prep work? We talk a lot about planning in my world. I get a lot of my folks to really think through what they're trying to accomplish and get it down either through on their cell phone, on paper, however they record. Do you suggest that they go through a self-discovery process before they reach out, or is it just as you go, you can figure it out as well? What do you recommend there?
Yeah, so I think as you go, every coach will have their own recommended prep work.
Okay.
So, for example, we have coaches that do a very in-depth personal questionnaire in the beginning to expose your personality traits. Other coaches, for example, do a 360 review as part of the intake. So, for example, asking for feedback from your peers, from your people who have reported to you or people who you're reporting to, and then use those results to really identify the areas where you should work on. And some coaches are just like, let's start with a blank slate. What do you want to achieve? What are your barriers? Let's work on those barriers. So I think it really depends on the coach's personal style, but I will tell you, any good coach will have some portion of the initial work be just reflection. Just really go deep and understand what motivates you in life. What do you want to achieve and why do you want to achieve those things? And then just gaining clarity on those things, regardless of whether it's done through a questionnaire or through just talking back and forth, it's very, very helpful to people, because many times, you know, we've inherited our values, especially professionally, just from by chance, right? We started working somewhere and our first boss told us this is very important to be a good employee and just stuck with us. And we don't know if it's good. We don't know if it serves us. So until we do this reflection process, it's hard to expose those things, because many times those are beliefs that are kind of buried deep inside, and some work needs to be done to figure them out.
That's a great point. And I know, you know, we were talking about this morning. I was on another call and Sales as a degree is not necessarily ubiquitous in the United States in college. So mm-hmm. a lot of times we're going in at sales as quite the newbie, or, you know, the newcomer, as I call some of my folks, is they're getting mm-hmm. indoctrinated by just popping into a position. I mean, that happened to me. I was a systems engineer. I'm an engineer by trade, computer programming. But because we were working in disruptive technologies way back when, before the internet, I was trying to get analog telephones to digital telephones. That's how long ago it was. But I was mm-hmm. in a situation where the reps couldn't really sell because they didn't know the technology enough. So they fired all the reps and put us, the systems engineering people, into sales. So mm-hmm. you go home one day as an engineer, you come back the next day, you're a salesperson. So, you know, it's trial by fire for sure. So I think a lot of this audience who's listening today are probably in those roles, not necessarily having a degree in it and getting the training and all that skill and mindset and process training that you would get if you were in like an engineering program or even a marketing program. You know, my son is going mm-hmm. through marketing right now. He's getting a very good education in all things marketing. They don't have all things sales. So I think a lot of us are really looking for that next level of performance. And we're at various income levels. And this would give us a good breadth of opportunity to search out and work with a coach to improve whatever it is that our goals are, those big, hairy, audacious goals that we've got, you know, working to them or just getting through the next quarter. I mean, it really depends on where you are in life. But the beauty is that these folks are out there. They're well-versed in various number of different disciplines, and they're all aligned to help you. It's all about you. Mm-hmm. Shimon, thank you so much for joining us today. I will put all of the links on the page that we have for the podcast so people can get a hold of you. But if they want to reach you, is the best place the website, or should they go to LinkedIn? Where should they reach you personally?
Yeah, the best place is through the website. Pretty quick at responding, and wherever you reach out to me, I'll definitely get to it. And yeah, thanks so much. It was a pleasure. It's always fun discussing these topics.
Yeah, thank you. I very much appreciate it. It's a little bit of a soft topic for us, but I think it's an important link that seems to be missing. And the survey says, you know, it's really an important piece that a lot of people are looking for. And I think this is a nice way with the crowdsourcing option that you've offered here is to find the right person or persons that can help you achieve your goals. Thanks again, Shimon.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. Have a great day.